Blog Talk Radio.
You are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effective you live. And most people are so concerned about growing old rather than being effective. The people who have impacted the world
children
didn't live long.
Children are the liar, yeah. Children are the liar. Children are the liar, yeah. Children are the liar.
John F. Kennedy.
Children are the liar. Children are the liar. Children are the liar.
I mean, these people who came back to the world.
Children are the liar. Children are the liar.
Follow law so precise, yeah. Who might she I pay the price? We in here like lies, yeah. They ride our waves like bikes, huh. Devil watches like yikes, huh. We never do what he likes, huh. And I'm watching all the demons, they sticky. Yeah, they always coming at us like 3D. And I'm praying that the Ruah don't leave me. We growing sis just like Dexter and Didi. The devil always tries hardest to beat me. It'll never work like Stevie and Mimi. Y'all don't get it, reality TV. And if you don't, then I understand. Cause on the other hand, yeah, I barely watch TV. Meditating so the angels can reach me. Frequencies like a satellite TV. Discern the spirit so I analyze easy. Wickedness in the spiritual realm. They can try me, but it ain't gonna be easy. If it's beef, then I end them all easy. It's going down just like fringes.
Children are the liar. Children are the liar, yeah. Children are the liar. Children are the liar, yeah. Children are the liar. Children are the liar, yeah. Children are the liar. Children are the liar. Children are the liar.
The kingdom of heaven. And therefore, when you have a purpose for your life, it disciplines your behavior.
Children are the liar.
Pharisees try to stop. This is what got John the Baptist blocked. This is what got Paul neck chopped. This is what introduced the Ruach. This is why Moses wrote every jot. This is my guaranteed heaven spot. This is the gospel of a Mashiach. Guaranteed none of this getting stopped. Sit still, clear your mind, praise Yah, meditate. See myself small like FaceTime. Seek his face and his peace. Renovate.
Tapped in.
Elevate for heaven's sake, no pun intended. Recommended, delegated like a senate. Out of box, out box like I sent it.
I feel the spirit.
Y'all bless me with the wisdom, so I spill it like a beverage. Meditate in the field, son of edges. Read his words like he texted. Uh-huh, not a Bible but a weapon. We the army, why you stressing? Triple numbers manifesting. They don't know better, adolescent, that's the lesson.
Huh, not finna play with y'all, bruh. The Hamashiach specifically said, if thine eye be single, it shall be full of light. What do you think he was talking about? He said single, eye, that is singular, not plural. But the world take it and say it is the third eye, so we see it as wickedness. No, that's the gateway to the kingdom of heaven, bro. Focus on nothing, praise the Most High until you feel his energy. Shalom.
Here's another statement I thought was interesting in the book of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and to every purpose there's a time under heaven. In other words, if you are in heaven, it's eternal, there's no time. But when you come below heaven, you now have a purpose that has been fulfilled in time. That means you were born to do something, but you ain't got forever to do it.
All right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Waking Up Israel radio show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. All right, now today, it's all up in the air. I was going to get back into the book of Jasher. I'm determined to, y'all. I really am. But things pop up, all right? I'm a trucker by trade. And at the moment, I have to pick up a load and you know, do my trucker thing. And because of that, I can't read like I want to. Not like I want to, okay? So, another obstacle that I'm trying to get over, but I'm kind of doing this show as I do my job, okay? So, I'm trying to make it all work in my favor. All right, so, do a little recap. Over the past couple weeks, I was on with Sister Thale, reading in the book of Jasher, and we hit some pretty good points. And reading the book of Jasher, going into detail about Father Abraham and his journey and trials he went through before he even made it to the land of Canaan, all right? Yeah, upon his birth and his dad, Terah, and what Terah meant to Nimrod, all right? And a little bit about info about Nimrod, too, you know? It turns out that Nimrod, when Abraham was older and with Lot, and Lot split it up, and then there was some folks that came and kidnapped Lot and his wife and went to war with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that good stuff, and Abraham went down and he rescued Lot. That was Nimrod that was running away, right? That was pretty heavy to find that out in the book of Jasher. So there's a lot of little good little deals in there. You know, Nimrod was the king of the world at one point in time in his life. But since that Babylon Tower incident, a lot of people abandoned that and went their own way and started nations. So that gives you a good understanding how old Nimrod was, right? And, yeah, so... Hey, Nimrod was pretty old, and he had a lot of power, and then it was taken away from him. But he was the king of that area, that Babylonian area right there. So by default, that was him. That was him that was fighting against Sodom and Gomorrah, those folks there. All right? And Abraham was, you know, and his crew was who ran him away. You know, they escaped with their lives, you know. Yeah, so little things like that that you find in the books outside the canon, you know. There's some goodies in there. And, yeah, we did find some bones in that fish. There are a couple errors in there. There were. But, yeah, I look forward to getting back into that. But since we left off in Jasher, we had some calls from Old Testament-only brothers, and I had some calls from some Christian Israelite type brothers, all right? And we was trying to make it work, trying to get along. You know, that was kind of like my show. Wanted everybody to sit down and we'll talk it over. But that, I everybody say that ain't gonna work, and I understand. But I had to see for myself. I don't just take people's word for it, okay? So what ended up happening was I wind up arguing with my Christian brothers and the Old Testament only brothers. I was kind of being patient with them, you know what I mean? Taking things kind of slow, and, you know what I'm saying, with them and letting them have a lot of say-so. And I had to go back and explain why that was the case, you know what I mean? Because those brothers, they rejected the New Testament, so naturally, I want to fish for them just to get out of that type of understanding, just so we can at least sit down together, you know, and go over these scriptures together, like how my show is, you know, designed to do, you know. But I do welcome everybody of all different beliefs, and I do respect them, even my Christian brothers, okay? But the words hurt. Words hurt. They do. Words hurt. And if you ain't been living under a rock, you know that Christianity and Israelites, well, we've been bumping heads on a serious level. We're not really serious. I mean, we're both believers in Bible reading, not the same book, but yet we got these different, you know, how we view it. And that is what we argue about. And you can tell that it's, well, it's so intense that we couldn't even come together to evangelize or talk to Old Testament-only brothers. At least together we can, but then we'll hit a stumbling block that divides us. I just lost it, y'all. I lost it. I dropped the ball on that one, and I had to go back and apologize and all that. Now that I think we done got through, I want to get back to Jasher. I want to get back to where it all started from. What am I doing with the show? What am I trying to do? And just to be a voice in the wilderness, I guess you could say. Reading studying as I do my trucker job, you know? And, you know, that's the basics, man. I'm trying to be heard, but yet I'm trying to just get my studying out, showing the world where I'm at with my learning. But at the same time, I'm hoping to fish for brothers and sisters that's out there maybe listening and want to know more about it and things like that, you know? For all my family that's out there that are not of Israel, okay, I welcome you too to the show. Other nationalities, besides other beliefs, they are also welcome. But if you want to remain anonymous and just listen into the show and just kind of, you know, see for yourself, you know, the ups and downs and how we understand scripture, things like that, that is totally cool. And if you was to, you know, find it in yourself to pick up the phone and call on in, just to receive that input, whatever you had on mind, that's cool too, all right? And so that's that, all right? Because my show is to shed light, period. Shed light, but it's like showing how I'm not perfect and I'm being raw with it. You know what I mean? My studying, well, how I see it thus far. Can I still learn from others? Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. But I don't know it all, man. I'm just out here doing what I can. All right? All right. Before we get started, let me kind of take a little break and play a little song. And I have to run some errands, y'all, so this is going to be a little complicated before we get started. I got to run and pick up a load and all that jazz. So, like I said, I'm a trucker by trade. So with that being said, y'all, let me take a little, play a little song, and then we'll come back and we'll see what's happening, all right?
Okay. Okay, so the song I want to play, play Amos 3.
Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to say it. I know what got you from all of your enemies. Ooh, you know, open the sea. Them waters are bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boils, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. To Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. I'm the reason you in the captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemies. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast daily. Think I don't lose you. Y'all my babies. Hey, my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system. Come out of that lady. They got that military. It would not faze me. It would not move me. It would not graze me. Remember Legion. I did all that for my people. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel.
All right, I'm back, y'all. Yeah, so what's happening is, at the very moment, I'm multitasking. I am on my way to pick up a load, but at the same time, I'm doing my show, so... Yeah, it gets a little rough, man. It gets a little rough. So y'all bear with me on that. I pray that you bear with me on that. And so I can get somewhere I can definitely relax. Okay? All right. So what I'm going to do now, let's see here. Okay, no one called in just yet, so I'm gonna take the time to play a little clip. Let's see. Hopefully, this would help out a little bit. Hopefully, let's play it out.
So I told myself I'm gonna start doing these recap messages of some of my videos that I do, especially about the end times and the prophecies, to kind of elaborate more on what I was trying to convey or what God was trying to convey through me in the message. So this one is about the House of Dragons, and typically when I sit down, I kind of get a little bit less animated and I can kind of just, you know, chill a little bit and tell y'all maybe in a more quick and fast, deliberate, an easier way for some people to be able to receive, right? Not so much of a strong bite, right? So Revelations 12 and 9, the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So we know that Satan is the dragon. He's the devil. He's the old serpent. So the same old serpent from the Garden of Eden is this dragon, is Satan, the House of Dragons. And I talk about in the video how DJ Khaled has a new song called God Did, and Jay-Z is on it. And Jay-Z says that the Lord is a draconian or a dragon. So right there in these last days, in the end times, these guys are just kind of saying it right there in our face, that the dragon. And right there in Revelations, we hear about this dragon all the time, whether it be in 13 or we hear about it at the end when Christ destroys this dragon and bounds him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But we hear about this dragon, and it speaks about how the dragon, Satan, the serpent, that old serpent from Adam and Eve's day, says that it deceives the whole world. And in the message, I talk about how the only way you could deceive the whole world is if you control the media, the news media, the movie production companies, which is media, the television shows, media, the music industry, media. And we know, without me even saying, we know the people who control these industries. And so either those people are Satan or they're being controlled by Satan. Do you see what I'm saying? But then I went ahead and read to you Jeremiah 10 and 22, which basically says that these people are Satan or the house of Satan or the house of the dragon, Jeremiah 10 and 22. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons, and the house of dragons. So it is clearly saying in Jeremiah 10 and 22, prophesying that Judah and Jerusalem, that Israel would be desolate. So the real Jews, the real Israelites won't be there. Once they're gone, it will become a house or a den of dragons. Wait a minute. You see what I'm saying? And so then you got Satan. Oh, this is good. This is good. Who is the dragon, right? Satan is the dragon. And now you're hearing that Jerusalem is the house of the dragon or the house of Satan. It's a den of dragons, right? This is based on the scriptures. I'm not interpreting this for you. I'm just reading scripture for scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Now, let's get over here to Revelations 3 and 9 and listen to this. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship at their feet. So wait a minute. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. So we know Satan is the dragon. So behold, I will make them of the synagogue of the dragon, which say they are Jews. So whoever these people are saying they are Jews, and they happen to live in Israel. Do you see this? So who would they be? So if I was saying I was a Jew, if I was saying I was black, but I'm really not black, I'm probably blackish. I'm kind of black, but I'm really not black. Or I'm saying I'm black, but I'm really not black because they say they do lie. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So I have to come up with an identity to make myself close to black, but I'm not really black. So I'm blackish or I'm yellowish. I'm Jewish. I can speak freely. This is my exclusive channel. I'm Jewish. I didn't interpret that for you. I didn't interpret that for you. It said that in Jeremiah 10 and 22 that Israel is a den of dragons. And then it jumps down to Revelations 3 and 9, and also it's in Revelations 2 and 9. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan or the synagogue of the dragon. So there's a religion of the dragon which say they are Jews. Right? But check this out. Where do they live at? Well, they live in the house of the dragon too. So they live in Israel. You see what I'm saying? Because Jeremiah 22, 10 and 22 says that they live in Israel. And they saying they Jews. So it don't take a rocket scientist really to really go through this. And like I said, even in the message, that my newborn son could literally break this down and understand this with clarity. So then after that, House of Dragons, I went on to discuss Revelation 13, which I probably should have probably left this out of there. But the chapter of Revelation 13 is titled War on the Sea and on Land. And I was trying to show you how these different allegorical and metaphorical words that are about to follow in Revelation 13 also refer to a war on the sea and land, and how these nations that are described as beasts all come together as a conglomerate in order to protect themselves from war on the sea and on land. Correct, correct. So Revelations 13 and 1 starts and says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, which having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. Correct. Okay. Going to 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power. Gave him his power and his seat and a great authority. Wow, that is so good. That is so good. So we know that by mentioning the leopard, the bear, and the lion, that is referring to the same beast that were in Daniel 7. And I guess as a representation to explain to us how Satan has had dominion over almost every world empire or these seven world empires, because it says seven heads, which is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece and Rome, and then now the new Roman Empire, the 10 horns. These 10 horns, I went on, and that's why I said maybe I could have possibly left this out, because it's kind of hard to, I guess, understand. But these 10 horns, I guess, represent the European Union, or at least the Western European Union, which they once had a treaty that was designed for these 10 horns or these 10 nations to come together only in wartime. And it was called the Western European Union. The 10 nations was Belgium, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, and the United Kingdoms. And ironically about these 10 nations or these 10 kingdoms, which I didn't mention, these 10 nations are many of are the 10 nations that came to war against us or to grab us out of Africa, out of the western coast of Africa, and help scatter us into all nations. And Belgium was there. Italy was there. Portugal was there. Spain was there. You see what I'm saying? Germany was definitely there. The United Kingdom was definitely there. Went into the west coast of Africa. The gold coast is still God's gold, where we had a country called the country of Judah or Judah, God's chosen people, and they went there and grabbed us and scattered us to the four corners of the earth into all nations. I'm saying them along with America. I'm just saying, ironically, coincidentally, these nations happened to all have a peace treaty together in order to come together only out of war. So I went on talking about the house of the dragon. And in Revelation 13:3, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. That's talking about the Roman Empire, how it was wounded to death, how the Roman Empire was destroyed. And his deadly wound was healed. So the Roman Empire was healed by the 10 nations. It was healed because these 10 nations came from the Roman Empire. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is likened unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Everybody worshiped the beast because the beast is the one who healed the Roman Empire. It was dead. It was gone. And then the beast healed the Roman Empire, these 10 nations, allowing them to reign and rule. Who can make war with them? Because remember, in Europe, that's where you had all those world wars at. And they were fighting each other. But then they came together to create one union. Now who can make war with them? They're too strong for anybody to make war with them when they're together. You see this? This is what this scripture is talking about. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. What nation is that? What nation is that? I talked about it. That is the United States of America. He had two horns like a lamb, the Republican and the Democrat Party. Two wings, right wing and a left wing, both on the same eagle. The United States of America, and he spake as a dragon. The United States of America got power. He spake as a dragon. You see that, right? Revelations 13:12. And he exercised all power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So the second beast, America, caused the whole world to worship the first beast, Rome. And I explained in the video how America, oh my God, and there's another scripture where it says that it caused the whole world to make images of the first beast, and I'm going to read that in a minute, but to just to paraphrase how America today, we have the theaters, we have the football stadiums, everything, the Colosseums, everything that is around the whole world is images of the beast that was wounded, which is Rome. So everybody is still worshiping Rome. What is this, 2,000 years later, and there is no quote-unquote Roman Empire. There's only the remnants of the Roman Empire or the new Roman Empire, which is the European Union. But we're still worshiping Rome, even though we don't literally call it Rome. Do you see that? The Roman calendar. So many, we're living under the Roman calendar to this day. Why don't we just change the date and the time? Say, you know, today going to be the first or the second? Because we're still worshiping Rome, worshiping the image of the first beast or of the beast that was wounded but was healed. This is good. So also, I talked about how the European Union or the Western European Union, they have 10 nations, right? And they come together. When those 10 nations came together with America and Canada, which America pretty much just owned Canada, they created NATO. And remember, the chapter is called War on the Land and the Sea. NATO was also another organization created. NATO is a system of collective security. Its independent members, states, agree to defend each other against attacks by third parties. So another treaty, another union that was just created just for war purposes only. And the chapter is titled War on the Sea and on the Land. The dragon giving them the power. House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon. Then I read Revelation 13:12. And it talks about, and he causes all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he do great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And I talked about how that is the nuclear power, nuclear weapons. And America is the only country to ever drop a nuclear weapon on another nation, Japan. He caused fire to come out of heaven, out of the heavens, and drop in the sight of men. the only nation to ever do that. This is describing America to the T. Not just that, America is the only nation on the planet that constantly just bombs the hell out of other nations. Russia never just bombed the hell out of people, right? Like, crap, I'm talking about just bombing the smithereens. America that bombed Iraq in the smithereens, Afghanistan in the smithereens, Libya in the smithereens, Kenya. They didn't bomb everybody in the smithereens. Somalia, they didn't burn everybody in the bomb everybody in the smithereens. We can't even name a nation name. Vietnam, they didn't bomb everybody. North Korea. The list goes on and on. America just rained fire from the heavens. It's a fact. This is describing the United States of America. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. And so then I went into the mark of the beast verse, which is Revelation 13:16, and it says that he causes all people, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and that no man may buy or sell, save that he have the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I went into that verse to show that America, this is still talking about that same beast, the second beast that came up out of the earth, which is America. The first beast is the European Union. The second beast is America. Together, they are NATO, so they are one. Oh, God, who can make war with the beast? You see this? You see this? But, oh, God, what am I saying? So I talked about how the mark of the beast came from America, because it also says that America exercised the same authority as the first beast. America has more power than the first beast. America is the only nation on the planet that could have the power to make all people, rich and poor, free and slave, receive a mark. So literally the mark of the beast is the mark of America. That's more clarity for you right there in these last days and in these end times. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. So I'm trying to give this without, you know, any flair or any, animation. I just want you guys to get the understanding of the word. And like I said, really just a recap. And I said I was going to do this in all my messages, and I'll probably just go back through them all and do a short, just quick to the point recap on what I was trying to convey. And this one is about the house of dragons. And pretty much I went into more scriptures, but pretty much this last scripture, I really just was giving to give us some good news, because I didn't want people to think that, okay, well, the dragon, you know, he gave power to the nations, so we screwed. You know, like, you know, everything is over with, we done. We're going to die, they're going to kill us, we might as well just, you know, give up now. And I wanted you guys to see that obviously that, you know, we prevail, that Christ prevailed in the end. And Revelation 21 talks about, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, right? And we know that Satan eventually gets out 1,000 years, but eventually Christ put him right back in there, or put him out, actually this time in the fire, with the beast, America, and the false prophet, yet to be revealed, or already revealed. Some people believe the Roman Pope is the false prophet. So it's pretty short and simple and sweet, the house of dragons. I think we kind of understand what that is. It's funny how our pastors, our preachers, and even the media have portrayed to us this country, Israel, as always positive, nothing negative. Even the people, they're always positive, nothing negative. However, the Bible is literally clearly contradicting that and saying that in the last days, there would be something different going on there. I've showed you already who Mystery Babylon was. Mystery Babylon, the great city, and how that great city, Mystery Babylon, is really Jerusalem. I've showed y'all that. And so the House of Dragons now appear to be pointing at this same nation, this same people over there saying that they are, you know, and it appears that they do lie. Billy Graham made this, read this scripture, and many other pastors in the past have read this scripture. And, you know, obviously you get canceled, you get cut off, you know, you get shadow banned, you get et cetera, for speaking the truth. So hopefully this was a quick recap. I don't know how long I spoke for. Hopefully I kind of conveyed exactly what I was going for in this recap, which is just like a quick to the point message. But most importantly, I wanted you to know the truth, because the truth shall set you free. I really do believe in these last days that when you learn the truth, that it should set you free from the worry, from doubt, from anxiety, because when you read these clear scriptures and you start learning the truth, it should let you know, it should give you a surety that God is in control. That it ain't just a bunch of inflation happening just because Joe Biden policies are bad. Inflation is happening because God said it was going to happen. a famine and a plague and war is coming, not because Joe Biden is bad at diplomacy with Russia. You know, a famine is coming not because of the food processing centers that they've been destroying, but it's coming because God prophesied that it would come. So I'm hoping that by knowing the truth, it should set you free, because it should let you know that God, Elohim, Yahweh, Yahuwah, is in charge of all things. It's been written since the foundation of the world. Everything that's happening in your very eyes, right before your very eyes right now, was written 2,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 years ago. You see? So that should give you more clarity, like, oh, yeah, God is in control and not these scientists. God is in control and not these politicians. No matter who I vote for coming up in the election, God is in control. And whatever he said is going to happen is going to happen. Oh, that should give you clarity. It should give you comfort. It should give you comfort. It really should. It should make you feel secure in your faith and in your understanding. I hope y'all got this message, and I hope you can receive it in the name of Christ. All right, talk to y'all soon. Shalom. Shalom. Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. The Bible says that the preacher earns his living from the believers, from the church. You are the church. You are the believers. You are the congregation. I can't do this alone. The preacher earns his living from you. If you have it, please go ahead and
All right. Welcome back. Y'all on the other side of that little clip there. I played that little clip so I can well, do my little truck driver thing, you know, because I'm kind of multitasking here, picking up a load and doing the show at the same time. So y'all forgive me for that. And let's look at the call log, see what's happening. All right, error code 337. All right, you are on the air.
What's up with you?
Shalom, shalom. Hey, how's it going, man?
All good.
All right.
Who was that guy?
This is a up and coming brother on this Messianic side of the fence who have a different. Okay, go ahead.
You sound like Moshe from Hebrew or Harris.
He sound like Moshe from who?
Hebrew Heritage. You ever heard of him, Hebrew Heritage?
Hebrew Heritage. No, I haven't heard of that.
They was a big group before IUIC and before GOCC. All them, they go back.
Oh, right. Hebrew Heritage. Yeah, they the fathers of all that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Right. It's them brothers who got the ball rolling. I want to say the same people that's up in New York, right?
No, they from Shreveport. They came over here. They came down here to my town and, did some street ministry. That's where I met them.
Oh, snap. Okay, gotcha. So they were doing that back in, what, the early 90s, 80s?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Those are brothers that got the cowboy boots and the cowboy jackets and things like that, right?
Nah.
Oh, okay. Some more. Okay, I haven't heard of them being Brother Leonard.
Just Google it when you get a chance.
Okay. Yeah, so, but Leo Duncan is his name, and man, he got a different perspective on that I haven't heard before dealing with Israel. And so I kind of played that clip, man. It's an old clip. I've been having it for a little while. I haven't played it a couple times on the show. But every time I just kind of, meditate on it, what he was saying. It's a different approach, man. He looks at Babylon as Israel today.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So Mystery Babylon is Israel today, and how a bunch of things are going to go down there, and that's what's going to be on fire and all of that.
Right.
Instead of, because I when I came to the truth, I was told that America is Mystery Babylon. It's all, my understanding, and But I have came across some brothers who said Great Britain, Mystery Babylon. You know, so because that's an empire that haven't failed yet. They haven't failed quite yet. British Empire is still in effect, you know. And really all power, you know, that's who they was basically saying that's who's running America and a whole bunch of other things. That's the Edomites right there. I mean, the home headquarters, you know.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying, with the dukes and all of that, you know, royalty. And a long bloodline with them. Yeah.
Right.
So they were like, over here is just something that where they can put their money at in America. They can put store their money here, and they got a military that got their back if they're in any trouble, you know. And this is where, you know, majority of a lot of slaves kind of went on this side of the world. And that's all that this place is, you know what I'm saying? And the Catholic Church is real big over there in Great Britain and, you know, amongst other places, but, you know, especially when they got their own little spot. But,
right.
Yeah, they were trying to make that case, man. I'm just mentioning it because there's several different ways that people view it.
Right.
Today's show, Sister Thale ain't going to be able to join us, man. So, she's going to be running late, I think is what she's saying. I was just going to randomly talk about whatever, man, because I'm kind of in the middle of picking up a load. You know, I'm a trucker by trade and doing a show at the same time. So I'm kind of multitasking with you, man. But just to get it popping, if I remember correctly, Brother Leonard, since I got you on the line, your understanding about the Ruach Kodesh, you were saying it's not a particular angel. It is the angels in general,
if I remember
correctly.
Yeah,
that is the that is the Holy Spirit, because the angel is a spirit, right? The Most High is a spirit, right? The Great Spirit. And so that's the kind of point of view that you have on that. So by default, the way you kind of view it was when it speaks about Holy Spirit, you're just talking about the whole angelic, force that comes down at our aid when we pray and what God sends down to us or whatever. Okay. The way I view it, to my understanding, you know, I'm no scholar or anything like that, but to my understanding, I sit kind of like right in between your understanding and Christianity's kind of understanding. I'm saying that it is a and majority of the Messianic Israelites, too, they don't agree with me neither. But like I said, it's my own personal studying and what I got from it so far, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not my best, anyway. But, yeah, my understanding of it is that it got these different attributes to it, right? And on each man, each individual, it affects differently, right? All right.
Wow.
So the attributes of it is that understanding God's scripture, God's word, understanding the scriptures. That's the Holy Spirit gives understanding and wisdom. That's so wisdom in general is defined as the Holy Spirit. Also, the comforter, compassion, mercy, those things like that is the Holy Spirit as well. And it's also the power. There's power to come with the Holy Spirit as far as power like Moses splitting the sea, power like, walking on water, healing the sick, disability, you know what I'm saying? you know, foreseeing things that's coming your way, to have that foreknowledge, you know what I'm saying? Just power in general, you know, like some of the prophets that was able to, you know what I'm saying, heal, you know. And it's every man's different. Not all prophets had that power, but they was able to get it to where they understand the will of the Most High or the words, you know what I'm saying, of the scripture. And that's probably all the power like they had, like, you know what I'm saying, understanding the message.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But some of them actually had a power to, like Elisha, you know, Prophet
right.
Elijah. He said he wanted a double portion, right? And so he was, you know, he was eventually called up, didn't see death, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, you know, seeing the future and all of the, being a prophet in itself. So to describe the Holy Spirit is to, you know, give it that, but the Holy Spirit is separate. It's not God, but it's of God, and it does all these different variety of things. Okay, and so it works along. It was there in the beginning in creating everything because it's
right.
wisdom. It's knowledge, right? And it took knowledge to create. So it's it works right in hand to hand with everything else.
Right.
But yet it's not been seen like the scriptures don't show it as a person with two legs walking around. It's describing it on its actions is what's being described.
That was my point on everything you're saying. That's the Lord of hosts. Everything you just said is the Lord of hosts. So everybody thinks the Lord of hosts is Yahweh. But that's what I've been screaming from day one. That's who the Lord of hosts is, the Holy Spirit.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't see it as the Most High. But then again, you believe that the Lord of hosts is Michael. Huh?
Most Christians think the Lord of hosts is Yahweh. Most people that's reading the scripture.
Well, I come out. I think I know where you're going with this because I'm also kind of. Yeah. It's because remember when I first met you, you was kind of giving me the deal about the angelic realm and stuff like that. But I was telling you that from my understanding of, you know, since I was a child, they really didn't acknowledge the angels and, like, literally what they done, you know, because all credit goes back to the Father. So the little things, the details of it, we never did. View the angels as like messengers. They come deliver a message, or you know, the Most High, they kill them. They run down there and they kill. You know, but we didn't quite see it. When we read it, went right over my head. Who exactly? What angel? His name was, and what's all of that all about? You feel what I'm saying? Because everything goes back up to the Father.
Well, he told
if that
him,
makes
he said, you want to understand his creation. He said, you want to understand him, look at his creation. So a perfect example of how heaven operates in the order that's in place is an ant. Ant bee and a beehive. That's a perfect example of how the Most High works. That's how heaven works.
Okay.
That's a perfect example. Both of them. A beehive and an ant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are all based in order. You got order to them.
Yeah, you never see the queen.
And ranks and positions. Uh-huh.
You never see the queen. By happenstance, you might see the queen. But you never see the queen, but you see the operations of, you know, you see the whole operation, but you never see the queen. That's the same
thing. But everything is of the queen's will, though, right?
well, I'm saying, but you never see her. You got different bees that's representing her, but you never see her. And that's what's happening in the scriptures. That's why everybody thinks that the Lord of hosts is Yahweh. But Lord of hosts is he who is like Yahweh. And the definition of that is Michael. That's what his name means. And that's why his glory is Michael. Michael's his glory. So when they see him, that's when they get right. They never see the Lord Yahweh when they see him. He represents Yahweh. That's his representative. That's like David. They don't never see, you know, the priest, the high priest, some of the Levites. They see the Lord of hosts in the temple, but the power behind Lord David is Michael. They never see Michael. They see David. They're afraid of David because of Michael. They're afraid of Yahweh. They're afraid of Michael because of Yahweh. That's order.
Okay. All right. I was just being you on the line right now, and I'm at the factory trying to check in, brother. So I'm trying to see how to work it.
I'm gonna work it.
All right. All right. So let's see here. How about we go to another clip, brother? Let's play another clip because I think I'm gonna run inside this building. All right. Let's play another clip. And we'll get back to that, all right? One second.
All right. I want to play, seeing that I got you on the line, man, I want to play I want to see what your input on this, Voices of Our Fathers.
Once and for all, why don't, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, why don't we just simply break this thing down properly so all of you people out there can finally understand what Old Testament, New Testament is. All right. We're going to do this. All right. And we're going to try to do this in the best way we can for the time that we have.
Okay.
In my hand here is a Bible. Is that right, Elder?
That's correct.
Right, viewing audience, we have a Bible. Is that correct, Kazakiel? Mm-hmm. It's the Bible. And this Bible is composed of writing. Now, these writings, from cover to cover, this cover to this cover, writings in between. The writings can be broken down into one of two categories, or broken down into two categories. Every writing in this Bible is either classified as a book, or it is classified as a letter. I think all of you will agree with that. As it is here, as in most Bibles, or all Bibles, the Bibles are broken down into two different categories. The left side of the book, the thickest side, is called the Old Testament. Throw that out of your mind, because
right.
It is not the Old Testament.
It's to knock.
The right side of the book, which is the thinnest part of the book, is called the New Testament. Throw that out of your mind, because it is not.
That's right.
All right. Everyone knows, the church knows, the field mouse knows, we know, everyone knows that when Israel was released from Mitzrayim or Egypt, the Father established what we call the Mosaic Covenant, or it should be simply called a covenant.
That's it.
A covenant. It's strictly a covenant. A covenant. Everyone agrees with it. right church, right viewing audience, right whomever is listening or seeing or watching or whatever. This covenant was broken down basically into five categories. Five. One, two, three, four, five. The five categories that this law that was given to Moshe and Israel by the Father, five different categories. The first category is called law that relates to ceremonies. Ceremonial law. That's one. Ceremonial law.
Teach you.
The second category is classified as royal law. Royal law. First, ceremonial. Second, royal. The third category, Elder Kazakiel, we will call the law concerning our food or things that we eat, and that is called the dietary law. That's number three. Remember, that's five.
Mm-hmm.
That's two left. The fourth is called the sacrificial law. Laws pertaining to sacrifice. And I hope you all are following me so far, viewing audience. The fifth, one, two, three, four, five, the fifth and last category, we're going to call judgmental laws or judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've given you the five, we have to explain to Elder Kazakiel what they mean or what they refer to, because you got to know that too.
Yeah.
The first one I stated was ceremonial law. Ceremonial law refers to things that we do in ceremonies. Like, for example, laws that govern what we worship and what we worship and what we follow. In our ceremonies, examples would be such as unleavened bread, such as Passover. The ceremonial laws pertain to those things. Royal law, which is the meat of the law, the whole law, the meat. Examples of royal law would be, for example, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not what? Lie down with a man as one would lie down with a woman. Or one lie down with a beast or animal as one would lie down with a woman or a man.
Some call it the moral law.
That is also called the moral law. That is absolutely correct. And I'm glad Kazakia brought that up. But that first one is ceremonial, and we gave you the example. The second one is royal or moral, and that is very important because that is the meat of it.
That's right.
The third category is the dietary law, and that is exactly what it is. It concerns your diet and what you take into your body, what you can eat, what you can't not eat, laws pertaining to your diet. That's the third law. Or third category. The fourth category is the laws concerning sacrifices. When we took clean animals and we killed clean animals for what? For making atonement for our sins.
That's right.
Like pigeons, doves, etc. That's the fourth category. The fifth category are the laws concerning judgments or judgmental laws.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? A lot of you don't know what that means. What it means is that when you violate, these were laws that were written and given by the Father to Israel for people who broke the law. So when one murdered another brother in cold blood, there were laws telling us what we had to do to this person who committed the crime. So if a brother killed a brother, stabbed a brother, pushed him off a cliff or whatever he did to him, run him with a car, but there's no cars then, but what's the difference?
A chariot.
A chariot,
the chariot that you rode around now.
If you did that in cold blood, you had to die. And it was a law of judgment that was on you to die because you killed that brother for no reason.
Yeah.
I just gave you the five different types of law of the covenant and told you what they were. Now, Elder, you just read in the book of Yeremiah or
Jeremiah. That's right.
What you read, Elder, was information that the father was or father did give to Jeremiah.
That's
and
right.
Jeremiah simply wrote it down.
That's it.
In particular, now we want to be particular. In particular, Jeremiah's secretary wrote it down.
That's right. Baruch.
And his name was Baruch, which a lot of you don't know anything about who he was. Nor have you ever read the books that he wrote. But that's important. That's not important right now. We're talking about this right now. We're going to break this down because this will be the last day you go being ignorant about what is old and what is new.
Teaching.
In this information that the father gave to Jeremiah and he wrote it down, it talks about a new covenant.
That's right.
Let's go back to that Jeremiah 31.
Yeah. Talk to them. They don't understand yet.
Not yet. Okay. Elder, you started off with verse 31.
That's right.
Yah states to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah writes it down, quote, what the father said. He said, behold, the days are coming. That means that in the future, something is coming.
Yep.
The future from Jeremiah's time. It says, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant. A new covenant. Okay, a new covenant. So at this point, if you don't really understand what's really going on, you say, well, is there going to be another covenant that's going to come along? Because we just went over the covenant or the Mosaic covenant, and we broke down into five categories. Did we not? So at this point, you should be asking yourself, if you're not familiar with this, what is this new covenant? Maybe there's going to be another one that's going to come along in the future because it says, Yah says, I will make.
Yeah.
Days are coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A new covenant with the house of Israel, one.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says he's going to make it with the house of Yehuda.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why it says the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda, first of all, the reason why he says that, or Jeremiah writes this, is because that the nation of Israel as a whole was broken into pieces, two pieces.
Right.
One piece called Israel, and the other piece called what?
Yehuda.
Because this was when the kingdom was split, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Yehuda.
Right.
So at this point, the father is telling Jeremiah that in the future, I'm going to make a new covenant, a new thing with both of them, who's really one.
That's right. They still Israel.
The reason why the father makes the covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda and no one else is because they were both the ones that he entrusted his laws to that we just went over in the beginning. So why would he make it with anybody else if he didn't entrust them with his laws?
That's right.
So they are the partakers and they are the holders of his word and the keepers of his word and his rules and regulations and doctrines and principles and information, so he's going to make it with them. Why make it with anyone else?
Stop. before you go any further.
What else?
If you want to read it, go back to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, and read it. Continue.
Okay.
So we didn't write this.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh says, with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. Mm-hmm. And then he says, okay, then he starts giving us some specifics about this new covenant. So let's try to understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
What does he mean by a new thing, a new covenant? He says, it's not going to be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, talking about what? Talking about the people who were with Moshe in the wilderness when he made the covenant with them.
That's
the
correct.
Five different categories of law.
That's it.
Okay? So at this point, when this information is given to Jeremiah, this was in the past.
Yeah.
So the father is now going back to the past and telling Jeremiah that this new thing he's going to be making is going to be different from the one that I made with them.
Yeah, that's right.
I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. We just said that. My covenant, which they broke, and we know that Israel did break it.
Yep.
In retrospect, here and now, we look back and we see that they did break it.
Yep.
And even Jeremiah, at that point, he even knew they broke it.
Yep.
He says, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. He says, but this is the covenant. Okay, what is it? This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. We notice that the father here simply says Israel. He does not say Israel and Yehuda. The reason why he does not say Israel and Yehuda is because when this covenant finally do come along in the future, it will come at a time or during after those days, like he said.
That's right.
But it'll also be at a time that when the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda is only one nation, not divided, because we did say up here that it was divided at
That's
the time
right.
that he gave the information to Jeremiah
That's
or
right.
Jeremiah. So in the future, when this covenant is made, Israel will be one.
That's it.
And that, by the way, that eliminates the fact that if you think after those days, it's talking about during the time that Yeshua was here, because at the time Yeshua was here, Israel
still was
divided.
That's
so
right.
It ain't talking about then.
That's right.
And if you don't believe that, go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, read 15 through 28, and it'll tell you when Israel will be one again. And it's not going to be until the kingdom comes. Until after Yeshua comes back, after his resurrection, not while he was here when he walked the earth in the flesh.
Talk to him.
He says, but this is the one. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That is to say that you will no longer need a book to know Yah's law. You will not have to look at anything, because your natural reaction, your second nature, will be to observe his laws and his rules and his regulations. You will live it.
That's right.
And don't even have to
think about it. That's it.
Was that doing when Yeshua was here?
No, it wasn't.
Absolutely not. It was terrible then.
Yeah.
And it's even worse now.
Yeah.
That will only come time when Yeshua returns in the kingdom.
That's it.
Boy. Are you thinking now? Are you thinking now? Elder, you went right over to, let's go back here. He says, just to put a little, add a little more to that.
Yep.
He says, I will be their heir, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor. Well, first of all, this is one of the characteristics of this new covenant that's coming.
Yep.
No longer will a man be teaching his brother about who Yah is.
That's it.
I think they did it then when Yeshua was here.
Yeah.
I think they do it now.
Yeah.
We're sitting here doing it right now.
That's right.
So that means that this new covenant will not completely come into fold. Completely, listen to that word, completely, come into fold until after the kingdom comes.
That's right.
Okay. Elder, you mentioned Hebrews.
That's right.
Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 8th chapter.
Yep.
All right. Whenever you begin to read in this book, whether it be in a book, whether it be a letter,
in order to understand the context of what you're reading, mm-hmm. you must start off with the first verse of every chapter. Mm-hmm. Because the first verse of every chapter, the first, the second, and the third, or the first verses of every chapter, gives you the basic overall topic or outline what the rest of the chapter is about.
Yeah.
Hebrews, the eighth chapter, yeah. is no different from any other. Yeah. So it follows the same concept,
yeah.
Elder.
Yeah.
Hebrews 8:1, it says, now this is the main point. This is the main point of the things we are saying. What are you saying, writer of Hebrews? It says, we have such a high priest. Right there.
Yeah.
Stop right there. First of all, you understand.
Yeah.
That's a key word right there, a high priest.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
that gives you an indication that whatever this new covenant, because the eighth chapter is about this new covenant has something to do with a high priest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's one of your key words right there to remember. This is one of the key topics here. Watch out. Look at this. We have such a high priest. So whatever the new covenant is, the high priest has something to do with it.
That's correct.
It says, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the your majesty in the heavens.
Yeah.
So this is telling me that a high priest who's sitting at the right hand throne of the Father, we know there can only be Yeshua.
That's it.
So this high priest must be talking about Yeshua.
That's right.
It says, a minister of the sanctuary. Oh, sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another key word there. And of the true tabernacle, another key word there,
right.
which Yahweh erected and not
man.
For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. Oh, sacrifice. Oh, my goodness.
Good.
Oh, boy. Didn't we just say, Elder, earlier, that one of the categories of the law dealt with what?
Sacrifices. Yes.
So this sacrifices has something to do with this thing called a new covenant.
Yep. Yes, it
the
does.
Biggest, so far, the biggest word here is sacrifices.
Yep.
It says, therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. This new covenant.
That's right.
For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer their gifts according to the law,
yep.
who serve the copy and the shadow of heavenly things.
Mm-hmm.
As Moshe was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is the mediator of a
better
covenant. Yeshua is the mediator of a better covenant.
Yes, he is.
Talking about this new covenant.
Yeah.
Just like Moshe was the mediator of that first covenant.
That's right.
That's why they call it the Mosaic covenant.
Yep.
Yeshua is the mediator of this new covenant.
Yes,
and it has something to do with sacrifices.
Yeah.
So it says, of a better covenant, which was established on
better promises.
Mm. So this new covenant is better. So the Father is improving.
That's
giving
right.
us something. He's given us something that is going to be improved. All right. Now, subtopic here. In most of your Bibles, I'm sure it says subtopic.
Mm.
New covenant.
Yep.
Verse 7. It says, for if that first covenant, first covenant. But mind you, folks, before you begin to even think or dream that the first covenant is referring to all five categories, remember, we just said that this new covenant is only affiliated with what we call sacrifices.
Yeah.
So what can we make a connection with in the covenant that Yah initially established with Moshe and Israel? When we look at that fourth category, which was sacrifices, we look at this new covenant, which must be better,
mm-hmm.
now we begin to make a connection here
because
this new covenant is supposed to be better.
Yeah.
But it has something to do with sacrifices.
Yeah.
For if that first covenant, the covenant concerning or the law concerning sacrifices, if that first covenant, which has something to do with sacrifices,
right,
if it had been faultless, in other words, if it was perfect, and the writer here is telling you that it wasn't perfect. He says, for if that first covenant would have been, what, faultless, or if it didn't have any fault to it, there would be no place for a second.
Yeah.
Why would you replace a perfect covenant
mm-hmm.
with another covenant?
Yep,
if you're
right.
sick, why do you go to the doctor?
That's right.
So the writer of Hebrews is simply saying here, in a nutshell, the first covenant or the first part of the law, which dealt with sacrifices, it's going to be a new thing. We're going to do something different. The promises are better because the first time this sacrifice or these sacrificial laws were given, we see that it had fault to it. What was the fault? What was the fault? Elder, the fault. Because I see Elder fault.
Mm-hmm.
Very honest, the fault was the fact that the first covenant was dealt with sacrifices,
right.
could not kill or destroy your sins.
That's right.
Because you're killing
innocent
clean animals, and yet and still, and you're going through all those gyrations, yet and still, in the end result is your sins still abound.
Remain.
You.
Still remain.
Still remain. So there was fault to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But the second one must be perfect.
Yeah.
As you all know, being audience, people in the church, we know that Yeshua, we mentioned him earlier. High priest, we mentioned that earlier. Sacrifice, we mentioned that earlier. We know that he died for our sins. We know that he shed blood. He was sacrificed because he was the Lamb of Yah.
Yeah,
that means that he was the perfect sacrifice. And in the perfect sacrifice, you get the perfect covenant. And the perfect covenant, there is no more sin. If you confess and you
repent.
That's right.
That's correct.
If you confess and you repent. They don't just disappear on their own. You've got to open your mouth.
But then
you have to confess with your tongue.
But that puts you on the road of salvation.
Absolutely.
So that just, all that did was you brought it all the way back when I was speaking about salvation,
mm-hmm.
and you brought it all the way around,
mm-hmm.
and having the ability with embracing the new covenant,
mm-hmm.
which is Yahshua
mm-hmm.
in its essence,
mm-hmm.
you have the ability to abolish sin.
Absolutely. You have dominion, like Paul said, with Yeshua, through faith and through his blood, you have dominion over sin.
Right.
Because
and
you can wipe it out anytime you want to.
That's
something in the Moshe, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah did not have the
power
to
do.
Right.
They couldn't do it.
Here's the bottom line. I'm going to cut it short.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant is simply a covenant. When we relate it to the five laws,
mm-hmm.
or the five types of laws, the new covenant only affects two of those laws. We said number four, sacrifice. We said number five, judgments. The new covenant only affects those two. The others are still intact. The others are still remain, so you cannot refer to them as the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But still, again, Ella, what? The covenant.
That's it.
The only thing that's old is that which changes.
Yeah.
Is that which is no good anymore. The only two that are no good anymore is the law of sacrifices and the law of judgments.
Right.
You see, now Paul talks about, Paul talked about there's freedom.
Right.
We're free from the law. Free from the law of what? Free from the law of judgments, because now you can do what? You can commit a crime, and you don't have to worry about somebody coming after you after your neck.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about that, because there is remission of your sin through confession and repentance.
Yep.
How can we as a man condemn a man and kill a man if that man has fallen on his knees and confessed and fallen on his knees and repented and turned around from his sin, did a 180 and don't do it no more? How can we then kill that man?
Mm-hmm.
How can you take his life?
Yeah.
Yeshua paid for that. And I'm sure you all know about that. But the New Testament is simply the eradication, the removal of sacrifices of animals and the removal of the judgmental laws that gave us death when we went out and we did a wrong thing.
That's right.
That is no, it is no more than that. It is not a whole side of a book.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And the New Testament, the New Covenant, yes, was initiated when Yeshua came. But the remainder of it and the greater portion of it is not here yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is go to Matthew when Yeshua, in I believe the 26th chapter, when Yeshua talked about drinking, taking your drink and drinking it, for this is the what? The blood of what? The new covenant. It was established then, but it was not completed then, and most of it, in fact, has not come to pass
yet.
Nope. That is what the new covenant is. That is all that it is. Hopefully, you've got a greater grasp of what is being said here.
All right, Brother Leonard. I'm multitasking, bro. All right, of that clip, man, what are you thinking of it? What do you think about it? I know it's off our topic, but it was something I could have played while I'm multitasking. But these brothers are voices of our fathers. That's where I kind of got my stuff from, man. Listen to these brothers. They help wake me on up, man. And so what they're saying is kind of like where I started at, all right? All right. So, you know, so you can see how my brother and sister that's in Christianity, why we may be bumping heads on scriptures.
Right.
You can kind of get a little taste of what separates us from Christianity understanding.
Right.
All right. Okay. But back to the, well, we can go from New Covenant, Old Covenant, and Ruach. Where you want to go? Back to the Ruach? Yeah, but they got these attributes, and I think I was telling you about, telling you how I kind of put it together, man. And the way I put it together is that looking at the Godhead, man, looking at that first order, right? The first order got the Father, and then it got the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Now, my knowledge of the scriptures, the Son, angels are also the sons of God, right? But I think when it talks about the Son, it is talking about that top one. Number one, top one, right?
Okay.
And, the number one, top one is considered his begotten Son, meaning it's the number one over all the other angels. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
And when you look at the back of the book, you see that Christ becomes that number one. We see that Satan was the number one, but he left his position. He turned on him. He went left, which is something else that boggles my mind. But I wait till later to ask you a question like that. It boggles my mind understanding why these angels went left. But they had it all. I mean, I don't understand why they did what they did. That part don't make sense to me, really. But nevertheless, they left their positions, and here they are, you know what I'm saying, in bad shape. The Ruach is considered like the breath of life when God put breath in Adam and Eve, that breath of life. That breath that comes from the Father, that's the Ruach, right? Ruach is, matter of fact, I'm waiting in line, waiting on my
truck number to be called, but I'm going to try to go to scriptures with you right quick. And the Ruach Kodesh in the Old Testament. Because, you know, the New Testament, it talks about it in more in detail to me. But, however, the Old Testament does have the Ruach there, you know. So let's, I'm going to just try to look at the ones in the Old Testament because I got you on the line with me.
Okay.
And look at my little notes. Let's go to Psalms 51. We'll start right there first. All right,
okay.
Psalms 51. Matter of fact, is it all right if you was to read it for me, man? 51 and verse 11 and 12.
I'm not around my Bible. I'm not around my Bible.
Oh, you don't have your... Oh, you're not around your Bible? Okay. Hold.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can do this. All right. Psalms 51, verse 11. Okay. This is David. This is David right after he had the Hittite killed and got his old lady, and Nathan came and told him what he did wrong, and he, you know, God seen all that. And then this is David pleading with the Most High, telling him how he's sorry and things like that. All right? I'm going to start at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, that's the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's
okay.
What it means, the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, we know that's the Ruach HaKodesh, set apart spirit. So that's what holy is, set apart, right? So among all other spirits, this particular spirit is what they call set apart. But yet it doesn't describe it as having arms and legs or anything like that. It mainly just talks about attributes. So what David is saying that he had the Holy Spirit with him, and because of his sin, he's afraid that the Most High would take his Holy Spirit away from him. All right?
Yes.
All right. Any questions on that right there?
Well, if you go to Zechariah chapter 4.
All right, Zechariah. Okay, but before I do that, about the Psalms, what David's saying that the Holy Spirit is with him.
Yeah.
What are you thinking on that?
That's the same. Zechariah 4:18 and Isaiah chapter 11 tell you what that Holy Spirit is.
Zechariah. And then you said Isaiah what now?
11. And verse 1 and, verse, 1 and 2.
Okay, I ain't got those down in my notes. All right. Okay, well, it looks like we have to. All right. Let me see what I can do. Okay, Okay. Hold that thought. They just called my trailer. All right, you hear me, brother? Hold that thought.
I got you.
Okay, but I mean, we could talk, but I can't read scripture at the moment. All right. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, and so what is Zechariah and all that? What is it going to let me know again?
I'm going to go in there by my Bible. I'm going to read.
Okay, and it's going to point that it's an angel, right?
Well,
is that pretty much where you're going to?
Well, it's showing you that in all situations, and with all the men of God, he kept angels with him. That's what he's talking about. Feel like they were with David? David with Moses? Feel like they were with Moses, David with Noah? He's saying he kept angels with him. The Holy Spirit. They with him. They with Abraham when he was down in Gear. Tell you that they kept angels there with him. But let me, I'm off right here. I'll be up here. So it says right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm trying to listen, brother, but I'm also trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, where you know, doing my job at the same time.
Oh,
but go ahead.
I'm in Zechariah 11. Zechariah 4:10. So it says, for who has despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and see the torment in the hands of Zerubbabel with those steps. So when you go back to what you're talking about, it's seven angels there. The spirits there with him. And so you go to Isaiah, like this. Chapter 11 says, and there shall come forth a rod, and still reject the thing, then shall go out of his youth, and the spirit of the Lord one, spirit of rest, the spirit of love and rest on him one, spirit of wisdom two, understanding three, spirit of counsel four, might five, spirit of knowledge six, and the spirit of the Lord seven. So when it says that spirit is with him, that we're talking about, that's the understanding of that. All seven of them with
him. Gotcha. All right. All seven of them is.
Right.
Okay. So to make sense of it, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, based off the understanding that you have of looking at the scriptures and stuff, every spirit is accounted for. There's not a mystery spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Every spirit is accounted for. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I got that understanding, man. And so when they speak about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's pretty much just talking about how talking bad about the angels, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
What'd you say?
Okay, you go ahead and talk, man. I'm trying to bag into a doc. Go ahead and, if you got any more scriptures you can take us to?
Yeah, ain't anybody else but me you on line?
All right, take us on there, brother.
We don't want you on line.
Are you still with us, Brother Leonard?
Yeah.
Okay, what, you getting your scriptures?
Yeah, I was saying, me and you on the two on the line?
Oh yeah, I wanted you to kind of get your scriptures and help me out while I'm kind of multitasking. You could be reading them out, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so that way we don't be quiet on air like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Have dead air waiting on me.
Right.
That's what I was kind of hoping, bro. But It's all to the good. I'm working it out, brother. I'm multitasking, man. I am definitely multitasking. Yeah, busy. But I'm finna chill, though. I finally backed up to the dock. Well, I haven't backed up quite all the way yet. I got a couple more things I got to do, but I'm finna be done. Then I can sit down and get busy with my show.
Oh, boy.
All right, here you.
Where you at?
Oh, where I'm at? Okay, right now I'm in Georgia, right here outside of Atlanta. Yeah, I'm in Georgia.
You in Atlanta all the time?
No, man. I'll be all everywhere, man.
Okay.
Yeah, East Coast, West Coast.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. All right, got my straps back there. I think I'll put it back up to the dock. Damn, y'all, I can chill, man. I can chill after this. All right, yeah. So anyway, it's Ruach Kadesh. So we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's a big no-no. Big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to make sure we get that right on what's the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
And so, therefore, by default, just hearing about angels rebelling against the Most High, falling from their estate, how good they had it, right? And then they fell from it? What?
Right.
To be down here with us? Mm-hmm. What? What do you mean they jealous of us? What's that about? A lot of things are a little confusing here, all right? But when you look at the big picture, the outcome, how a human is going to make it up to top angel status with the Most High, right?
Okay.
So by default, did that promotion, was it already on a human being prior? And that's why they went left, because they was jealous of that? I mean, how do you see it playing out, man?
Well, the thing is, the way I see it playing out is, what nobody seems to know is they got sexual organs. They got penises. And they felt like, man, they supposed to have been watching the man, and they seen what the man was doing with the woman, and then they felt like they were being cheated. Because they see what the man got, they got a penis like the man do, but the man, the one using his, and he getting children, and he getting pleasure from what he wanted. So they eventually got to a group of them, and they wanted to come down and deal with it.
That right there into my mind too. They left their position for that.
Yeah,
just so they can know how that feel,
right?
And know how to, you know, have their own child and stuff like that.
They want to see that.
Like, yeah.
Right.
That came up in my mind too.
Right. Not understanding that they were going to do giants. They thought they were going to have kids like we have, but they. When they go
ahead,
they
didn't
like
out. Yeah.
You start destroying
that. Yeah, so it's not regular kids. They was thinking regular kids.
Right. They're thinking the same as black out.
Look out from the side and make sure it's hanging out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Gotcha, gotcha.
And then you look at
that sexual
part of it, that DNA and the sexual part of that is something else because of we saw what it done to Solomon.
Hmm. Well, you see, well, Solomon's a different case, ain't it?
Yeah, but I'm just saying the lure too. Same thing that threw Solomon all through the far ranges off.
Yeah, but Solomon is misunderstood to me. Solomon had a bunch of wives. He had wives from every single nation all around him. Because he was inherited safety and security in his while he lived. And he's seen with all that wisdom, huh?
Was that ordained?
No, not from other nations anyway. The Most High don't mind multiple wives now.
Right,
it's just the other nations having wives of other nations, believing in a whole other God. That was a no-no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he crossed that line. Because he felt trying to outthink, he was given so many wisdom, so much wisdom, that he's one step ahead of everybody. So if he connect a good reunion or a good favor with all these kings around him, he can get treaties, peace, ensure the peace for more years to come. By connecting a family type of friendship with the kings around him. Inherited peace, he wanted to pass that down. Trying to think ahead. But most importantly, though, all those wives he had, he only had a very few children. That also tells me that he wasn't laying up with them. He just married them for political reasons.
Agreed.
See what I'm saying?
Greed.
It was greed. Well, to me, all those wives did not have that many babies, Bob. It wasn't that much greed, brother. Because you're gonna pop somebody.
We know that because of David's appearance, his appearance, and Joseph's appearance, we know that he was an attractive dude, and Mosiah made him that way because his DNA and he had wisdom and knowledge and all that. He used that. All these women was attracted to him, but he didn't have to have all of them. So greed, he was getting all of them. He couldn't sleep with them, but he was just greedy. 900 wives? Come on.
Yeah, but hear me out, though. Hear me out. All those wives, come on, somebody would have ran up pregnant, man. And the ones he did get pregnant, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
See, he wasn't laying up with them like that. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Which led to them getting sexually frustrated, which led to a bunch of, them acting weird where the public can see what's going on up there. All those wives, and so here they are sexually misbehaving.
Right.
Because I don't think he was making it do what it do.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I think the access, he was so smart, man. He was trying to be smart, but I think that all that wisdom came back on him and, double-crossed him. You see what I'm saying? Came back on him. He was one step ahead of all these nations around him, outthinking them. But look up the Most High, seeing how he was doing it, and that was the no-no. You shouldn't take in wives from other nations, even if it's for an agenda. He did it in a good, it had good intentions. My point is, he had good intentions.
You look at three situations, all of them the same, came out the same. The angels came down and slept with women. the wisdom they had before that, it became perverted. So that's what happened to Solomon. Once he started sleeping with women, then he started allowing them to bring their gods into Israel. He started setting up groves and all that all over Israel for the women. So that wisdom he gave them in the beginning became perverted. And then another one is David's judgment went off when he did that with Bathsheba. But at the same time we
gotta keep in mind, how do we feel about Gentiles living amongst us, worshiping our God, right there along with us, you know, being a believer like us, but they not of our blood. They wasn't under the old covenant. Right, so they could pick up a dead pig that's on the ground in front of somebody's driveway and put it in the trash or whatever, or go eat it, or, you know, they can do things that we couldn't do. We call them goyim, right? We hired them to do things for us, or they lived amongst us, you know. But the message in it, you know what I'm saying, was that he's a believer at the end of the day. That's why he's there in our nation. He's a believer. And you see that God cursed David, but the sword would never leave his household because he messed with that believer. Right? And on top of that, in my understanding, Bathsheba was an Israelite. Am I right?
Yeah. Ethiopian.
Huh?
Ethiopian.
You said Ethiopian?
Yeah, she's Ethiopian.
Okay, so they both was a Hittite and an Ethiopian.
Who was the Hittite?
I thought Bathsheba, huh?
Who was the Hittite?
Uriah was a Hittite.
Okay.
And Bathsheba, right. I thought, was Israel.
No. Oh, yeah, Bathsheba. I thought you were talking about Sheba. The one that came to deal with Solomon.
No, Solomon. That's Solomon there, but I'm talking about David. She was married to a Hittite. And so I'm thinking, that was kind of a no-no right there. So in order for Israel to even let a Hittite even marry an Israelite woman, that Hittite was highly respected. He was adopted into our culture, and he had plans on mixing his bloodline in with ours. And how many generations does it take before they count him whole? But he was already on that process. You see what I'm saying? He was already in that process. And so that was a no-no to kill him and take his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because he had plans in coming one with us. And so... Yeah, so by default, that was a no-no. But that concept, it plays again in the New Testament, in talking about Gentiles in the New Testament. Paul is a scholar. He was a high scholar, and dealing with the 10 tribes scattered abroad was our mission in the New Testament, to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the fact is what I'm thinking about is that when they have came to the understanding that the Northern Kingdom, they are not in one place. They are all scattered around at that point. And I think that revelation hit them as well, that them too is about to get scattered around the world as well. I really do think the scriptures, there's nowhere in the scriptures where he like says, I know we're going to get scattered. But Christ did say something to that effect about being scattered, right? And so I'm thinking they kind of knew this. They knew this, man, that they were about to get scattered all over the world themselves. All right? And it's going to be the worst captivity that we could ever think about, you know what I'm saying? Every single captivity, we knew where we were. So I'm thinking taking our identity away was the ultimate slap in the face. You just can't get no lower than that. Because we became like animals, literally. you know, chattel slavery. And so by default, man, you know, that was the worst, you know. And that was the worst. And so I think there was special events took place, trying to give us teachings and to give, make sure the scriptures make it to us. You got the Essenes.
Okay.
They went off, ran off from the land into Israel, into those caves back in the, they've been living out there for hundreds of years prior to the Romans. Well, you know, to the Greek,
what?
During the Greek time, they bailed out.
Right.
You know, and so they buried the scriptures in pots in the desert in caves, the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
All right. The what we had in our temples at the time, the was eventually translated into Greek. Right? That's where you get the Septuagint.
Right.
The Septuagint. And then you got the Codex Sinaiticus, or whatever that, those are fragments and pieces of, you got other biblical sources in there, like, you got, like, the Jubilees, Enoch, other stuff like that. But my point is that the originals, you know, besides the Torah, the first five books, that was on tablets, stone tablets and things like that. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the Tanakh itself, all that was translated into Greek, and then eventually you had the there's a story behind the Septuagint. It was 70 Israelite brothers who brung it over to the Greek language.
Yeah,
And that's where we get our King James derives from, that right there. All right, say it again.
The letter to Aurelius is in the Pseudepigrapha. It's the story behind those 70, those Edomites, because Edomites is in the land at the time when they transferred it from Hebrew to Greek. Those are Edomites. The Israelites is gone. Those are Edomites in at the Library of Alexandria. It was Edomites in the land of Israel and Edomites in Alexandria. As a matter of fact,
you're talking about the Greek Empire.
Yeah, Israelites is gone. It was Esau. Esau had occupied Israel, chosen as Israelite.
Yeah, but you know the Maccabees were still there doing their thing in that time period, and
The Maccabees, Edomite. Josephus was Edomite.
Okay. See, what you're saying right now is the same thing those brothers who are just the five books only brothers. They don't trust the Tanakh. They don't trust the New Testament. They don't trust nothing but the first five books.
Okay, who is it?
Those brothers are Old Testament only brothers. I think they mess around with the what are they reading over there in Israel right now?
That Talmud.
I think they deal with that a little bit or a lot
Zohar.
Or
the Zohar and the Tanakh. The Zohar and
because they believe that everything is tampered with, they don't try to make sense of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't deal with it.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
they don't even try to make sense of it without, you know, because they feel like it's been touched. And so what you just said right there kind of makes me feel like you understand where the brothers are coming from or something. Because you're saying that you're saying that the Maccabees were white folks.
Yeah, they were Edomites.
Right?
Yeah, they was so at that time, the Maccabees and they was mulatto. They was mixed. But after that, after the 70 AD when they were sent to Spain and then they ended up in Europe, they interbred with the Europeans, with the aristocratic families and stuff, they interbred. That's how they after two or three generations, they ended up looking the way they look now. But when they left, that's what Hitler's telling us. Hitler said that before when the Edomites came to Europe, they was Negroes. That's why that was his reason for killing them. But they started intermingling with the white folks over in Europe and in Spain, and they ended up coming looking like they look now. They white it out. But they were mulattoes before they left because Esau didn't respect his DNA. Esau intermingled before when he first when he was young. He married those Hittite women. He didn't care nothing about his DNA or his lineage. He intermingled all over the place. So he was mulatto. And we see examples of that in Britain. Like Sir Francis Newton, Sir Francis Bacon, and all them. Look at their hair. It's the hair red, but it's like an afro because they got Negro DNA in them. And then now,
all right. But tell me how you start at the beginning, brother. And start at the beginning. What about the Maccabees indicating that they was all killed or wiped out or ran out of the nation?
Come on, the Maccabees?
Or what? I mean, what made you come to the conclusion that the Maccabees are white people?
No, I say at the time they were mulattoes. The Maccabees are Edomites.
I know. Now tell me how you know they're mulattoes.
Because they was when Rebecca had Jacob and Esau, right?
Yeah.
So Rebecca is a black woman.
Yes, I know.
Right. But Isaac ain't none of Esau then.
All right. I'm coming from that Maccabees are of Jacob, or you know. I mean,
right,
that's where I'm thinking. Okay.
But look at it. You said that in Daniel, the prophecy in Daniel was abomination to make a desert, right?
Yeah.
He said that there's a prince that's going to come. That was Antiochus in the Greek kingdom.
Yeah.
A prince going to come. So Antiochus destroyed the holy people. He's going to destroy the holy people, and the temple going to get destroyed, and Israel's going to get rain out of the land, right?
Right. So you believe that part in Maccabees.
No. I'm telling you, Daniel, before we get to the Maccabees, Daniel already prophesied the prophecies already laid that they're gonna some people gonna come and run the Israelites out of the land and destroy the temple. And Jerusalem gonna become a desolation, right?
Yeah.
Right? So what is the Maccabees doing?
That...
So what is the Maccabees doing? They rededicate the
running for their lives, hiding.
They're my Israelites. They rededicate the temple. They rededicate the temple. The Most High says the abomination will make it desolate. They're going to kick them out. These Maccabees rededicate the temple. Them Edomites. They always wanted the land.
So you don't...
That's when they...
So you... All right. Okay. Let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Now, The king at that time, the Greek king, came through,
yeah,
put pigs on our altars. Who was he shaming? Was he shaming Edomites by doing that, or was he putting
no,
us
no,
to shame
no,
with Israelites?
No, No, that was right there. What you're looking at is with him shaming Israel. That's the prophecy. That's the end. The Israelites gone. It says that none remained at that point. No, the whole house of Israel was shamed, and none remained. They fled. That's the prophecy in Daniel chapter 8. That Antioch was gonna come. So Israelites gone. Then Obadiah tell you Esau came in and stole the land by lot. And from that point right there,
okay,
Brother Leonard, slow down.
I know what's in Daniel, but so basically
right.
You're saying you're reading Daniel, and you're reading
right.
about what happened over here in the Greek period, and
right.
it's impossible that we stayed, because if we would have stayed or still been around, that means Daniel was telling a lie. And
right.
we can't have that. So
right.
by default, you're saying that something's wrong with these Maccabees that's going
right.
off script.
Right, good.
Because Lord forbid, because Lord, hold on, Brother Leonard, because basically you're saying Lord forbid that Daniel was talking about something else another time. That Israel is going to be scattered off the land. This has to be the moment when Greek did this. That got to be it. It has to
right.
be.
Right.
Because that's what Daniel prophesied, that this was
right.
Something like this was going to happen. And I thought it, the Greeks did this. So that
right.
means we got to be gone.
Yeah.
I don't want to view it like it's in a Roman period that we will be gone for real.
Right.
So that Daniel got to connect with the Greek time period. It just got to.
Okay.
That's where you're coming from, right?
Yeah, I'm going by scripture.
You're going by scripture?
Scripture and precept.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. I know where... Brother Ronald got precepts, man, and I'll be going back and forth with him because, man, it just kind of makes it all complicated. We just can't see him out. Well, I ain't got the ability. That's why I'm studying on my show. That's why we're talking about it on my show, because I got to humble myself down, because I don't know it all. I know what I kind of believe, though, Brother Leonard. But that don't make it right. Just because I believe it, that don't make it right. Everybody believes something different from me.
Exactly.
All right. But there's all these places on the statue I want to say is it means something when it gets down to the legs.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's something for us down there, too. Something that's involving us down there, you know what I'm saying, in those legs. And
right.
you would say, yeah, it does. It's
right.
going to skip hundreds of years back to the end of Rome period when Constantine
mm-hmm.
Got Christianity. So all that leg part is all about Constantine.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's your position.
Yeah,
well,
you
want to
read it?
Yeah, right now I'm just kind of mentally taking your position in.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mentally taking it in, because we're not in, according to you, we're not even in the land. So that whole, that vision of Daniel dealing with that part of the legs, it's all about Constantine.
Well, it's all about Israel. Israel is a part of that, but Israel, if you go back and look at the history, Africa, during the time of the Greek kingdom and during the first part of the Roman Empire, Israel was outside of that. The land of Israel, they was kind of outside of that. And then he said that they was going to come and get us and take us away and shift. That's when the prophecy, Daniel came and caught up with us, Deuteronomy 28. So at that time, we were part of the prophecy, but we was over in on the West Coast and doing, like I was saying, the Mali Empire and all that. We was doing that. Then prophecy that was spoken of.
Brother Leonard, I looked into that a little bit. I ain't done with my research. I looked into that a little bit, brother. And far as BC times, I don't think that was us. I don't think so, man. No, I'm talking about the brothers with the stretched necks, with the rings around the neck, or the brothers with a plate, dinner plate, like in their bottom lip.
Right.
I don't think that's us, brother.
Okay,
because right. I was seeing little things that they have done, kind of concerning Egypt and things like that. I was looking into like what is there that we was so intelligent. Look at that scriptures. We was carpenters. We was we can build stuff. We got skills in different areas. We can we know how to graze these animals. Yeah, making hides and jewelry. We got all these talents and education. Even when you read our scriptures, our ancestors had education and they knew how to even talk to kings and do business with folks across the water and things.
Right.
International folks. You know, we lived in an area that's on a path where international people comes through our land just to go north or south or, trade routes. We was those people that's, feed all these different folks. And all of a sudden in the BC, it goes dark. And so if you would say that was us in the BC times, because I went as far, the serpent people, so far as the oldest that I came across, that's us. The serpent people, they're dealing with the snake, that they live, dealing with that. That's us right there, brother. Ain't no doubt about that. That's us. Dealing with the serpent people, like in Egypt, snake biting, and we still get, we was into that right there. I know we mix in with the Canaanites. I'd like to think the Canaanites, just like us, fled from up there, it was down here, all right? And I think South Africans doing their little, I think those are Canaanites. We still attracted to them. It still take a while from them to this day. what I'm saying? Okay. Because South Africa, I think that's Canaanites right there. Ooh. And doing a virgin high kick and stuff. I'm just saying. Anyway, so. Huh?
I can go get.
Yeah. So I think we're the ones that look like Arabs, kind of like. Got the little deal of the Arab hats, and we're the ones that made the kufi. You know what I'm saying? Over there in West Africa. We're the ones that our women's had these they wasn't revealing like the folks, that we see in Africa, They covered themselves up. I think those are us. Not the BC folks. Okay? I think those folks are us. We had laws that we didn't abandon, man. I think those are the ones that are us. And so by default, that means after 70 AD is when we came there, because you start seeing buildings and these little trade routes start to spur up in the West Coast real strong, and issues with the locals start building up. Scrimmages, right? That's after 70 AD. Well, the serpent people did their thing, but one brother was trying to break it down, those serpent people, that serpent in Hebrew means a certain word, and it was all going to, you know, it was all going to come full circle, but that was us, you know what I'm saying, dealing with the serpent around the stick and all of that. They was kind of drifting back into Egypt, adopting that into our ways a little bit again. But eventually, the serpent people, that area, Mali, Ghana, all that area, became an empire over time. And, you know what I'm saying? And we know that they kept the Torah. You know what I'm saying? So, by default, I see that in it. I haven't did all of Africa, but I see them right there. You know what I'm saying? But that didn't spur up to after 70 A.D., not the B.C. times, man. But what gets weirder is that they don't see themselves. They're basically contributing their route to that point, coming from Iraq, coming from they like Egypt. They, you know, that serpent people. They're dealing with Egypt, Iraq, Babylon or something. You got some brothers that's migrated from the north down there, but they're talking about Assyria, up north, you know what I'm saying, there's northern places up there by Assyria, you know what I'm saying? So just the fact they mentioned Syria makes me want to think the northern kingdom, but, you know, Hosea said they was going to be, what it says in Hosea, a cake not turned, mixed in with the Gentiles. Come, that's not them right there, because they, you know, they super dark. So I don't want to think that's them. It could be Judah, that scattered Judah, or scattered Benjamin or Levi that came down there, you know, from Syria. I don't know. I'm confused, brother. All I know is that that can't be us from the B.C. period, brother.
Okay.
That can't be. Not in B.C., because we got Mansa Musa. That was later on, hundreds of years later. But the serpent people, the earliest one, that was like the 300s, 500s, you know what I'm saying? During the 500s, Rome was still in power. Rome didn't fall until the 700s or something like that, when Rome fell. And the Dark Ages came. Hold on, no, 600s is when the Muslims came through. And no, 700s is when the Muslims came into Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And our people clinged right into that. So, by default, those kingdoms prior to the Muslim invasion is what I'm looking at. And it went from the early 200s, 300s, with the serpent people, turned into Torah-keeping folks, then to Islam.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Those Mali, the Mali Empire is all Israelites that have been converted to Islam. Like with Mansa Musa. Mansa Musa was an Israelite, but he was going.
Am I saying it wrong? Was it the 700? It might have been like the 1200 when the Muslim invasion went down.
Right.
Because, I mean, Rome was definitely gone downhill at this time, and Muslim world was rising to power. Muhammad killed some Israelites that was in Iraq, and he made his way looking for Israelites. So, you know what I'm saying? East Africa, he did a little scrimmage with them, but didn't want to really fully mess with them. They was well fortified. But he over here, like he's looking for us, right? Caught up with us, and we had to, for political, because Muslims had money, from getting those riches and money and power, they'll kill you if you reject it, because we were Israel. You know, they were putting that pressure on us. A lot of us converted into Islam, but I want to say it was like the 1200s, 1300s. You know, it was years later after Muhammad. But he started that campaign, though. But by the time they reached us, I want to say it was like 1200. I don't think it was like in the 700s. I don't know. I got to read.
So you got to look at that. You got to look at what you just said. It's on the four beats, right?
Right.
It's on the four beats.
The beat. Okay.
It's only four. It's not five or six. It's only four. So at during the time of the Muslim caliphate and all that, that was just in Africa. The Roman Empire and the Rome and the Vatican still rule. It's still ruling today. So that was just a second of the world. But Rome ruled the whole world. The Muslims just had that little area right there that we talk about that's in Africa. But the Roman Empire, like Daniel had prophesied, is ruling. And so he tells
Yeah, it came back to life is what you're saying. Took a mortal wound, but it came back to life.
When the Muslims is ruling, Rome ruled them. The Muslims just had a certain area. They just had a certain geographical location where they had brought Islam in. But Rome ruled the world, like it's still ruling now. It's only four beats. So the focus is not on Islam, because Islam ain't ruling the world. The Roman Empire ruling the world. The Vatican, and it's still ruling now. So. It says that the four beasts is diverse.
Well, we got the beast, but then we got the statue, and we got those 10 toes at the very bottom.
Hmm. Is those 10 toes?
10 toes represent Rome, but it's the divided Rome.
Well, is 10 toes part of the four beasts?
The four beasts are... Is Babylon,
Medes and Persia,
Medes Assyria, Medes and Persia, Greek, and Rome.
Rome. So the 10 toes are all part of Rome.
Yeah, but it's a divided Rome.
Yeah. So because iron is
mixed with
iron
clay.
Well, hold up. He says Daniel had a vision of the four beasts. For two different ways, animals and metal. Iron is the representation of the metal for the four beasts, right?
Right.
So what's the clay?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the clay?
Well, the clay is these other nations.
No. Iron is the Roman Empire. Iron is the Roman Empire, the four beasts. What is the clay?
It's these other nationality of people that got power.
No. Israel. And we wake it up now? We ain't mixing with them. Iron ain't going to mix the clay. We done woke up. The prophecy at the end is that Isaiah 44, we going to wake up. That's what we are now. That's what me and you talking about. We ain't mixing with iron. It's not the other nations. He told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. Israel is the clay.
Okay, hold on. Back up. Okay, now every part of that statue is rulership, right?
Right.
Is the clay part of rulership?
No, the clay waking up. That's at the very end. The 10 toes at the very end. Iron ain't going to mix with clay. Israel wakes up. And they ain't mixing.
Yeah, I know. But we're the rock. We're part of the rock that knocked down that statue, ain't we?
No. That's my point right there. The rock is JC. that's what's so crazy. He's not the rock. But when you when
okay,
you
but yeah,
eye,
we I don't want us to go that far. I'm just saying, every part of that statue is rulership, brother.
Yeah, but at the end,
we're in the tolls. We're living in the tolls right now, right?
Jacob grabbing hold of Esau heel. That's the clay. We see Jacob rising. Iron ain't mixing with the clay. The four beasts.
And in these last days that we're living in, we see Persia got nukes.
Persia what?
Is Persia part of those 10 toes? Persia.
No.
All right. Which one of those toes is China?
Yeah, that's my point. I was telling you in Second Ezra, he gave Ezra an understanding of the four beasts. He says it's different than what I gave your brother Daniel. He says the ten toes is the four beasts, and the four beasts is diverse. The four beasts is different. He have a different demeanor than the other three beasts. And so what is his demeanor? He's able to transform himself. He started out in Rome. Then he went from Rome to France with Charlemagne. From Charlemagne, he came to Greece. I mean, from Charlemagne, from the French, he came to Great Britain. Great Britain branched out to America. Now we're witnessing the last incarnation of the four beasts, which is China. We see China coming on the scene. That's a tenth incarnation. Esau is the four beasts. He learned how to move. The other three beasts rose and fell in the same place. The four beasts, which is Edom, he know how to move, relocate, pack up. He got a blueprint. And so when he start to fall, he take his blueprint and his seat briefcase and move. His headquarters still in Rome, but he moves. And so we seen them doing that with America. We seen them doing it with Great Britain. They left the people, the crown who came over here and had the 13 colonies, but they branched out from them. It's a whore controlling the four beasts, which is Esau. They over there right now in Israel. Esau controlling America, the ninth incarnation. Esau controlling the ninth incarnation. Now we see Esau controlling China. He bringing the beast to an end. The tenth transformation, we're looking at China. That's who's going to lead
okay.
us.
Do you see Russia in the picture?
It says two wings. It's two wings in Ezra. Two wings, two little wings reserved for the end. They're going to come up, and they're going to rule for a little while. Then they're going to go away. That's Russia and China. That's what we're looking at. That's the thing about it. In the past, you got all these scholars, so-called scholars, they're coming up with this and that. Not, but we in this generation, we looking at it. It's Russia and China we see coming on the scene. So when you see, if nobody else coming on the scene, China and Russia. So you have to rightly divide it from there. People can come up with all they want. Russia and China we see is rising in our face. That's what Ezra told us. They're gonna rise
okay.
for a little while, and then they're gonna go away.
And you don't think that's with the clay?
No. The Russia and China is the one that's gonna bring, is gonna cause us to be released. He's gonna use Russia and China to release us from this captivity of wheels of America. But like I was saying,
all
we're
right.
using Babylon.
No, well, no. Listen to me, Brother Leonard. Listen to me, Brother Leonard. All right. The toes are leadership things here. Each one of them, each toe,
yeah.
represents a king.
King, right.
Right?
Right.
And the king, these kings are ruling the world.
Right.
But they
it's
got
the
clay
left.
In there. All
no,
right?
No.
Hold on. Listen, hold on. Don't, hold on. Let me just get mine out, okay? They're ruling the world.
Okay.
All right? But in their dominion, each one of their dominions, all right, there's clay in there.
Right.
And that clay is going to be their downfall for what
right.
we call Armageddon is coming.
No. Okay.
War of
okay.
all wars. Because what's going to end up happening with the clay and that after – whatever, there's nothing after that. We ruin after that.
Right.
Right? So what's going
right.
down with the clay and the iron would resort to that statue blowing up at the end.
Right.
What we can see is nations that was under their thumb now got nuclear bombs ready to fight against them. Okay? So...
Right.
My question to you is why not look at that as clay
They're not as strong, but once they come together, they're pretty awesome.
Right. So let's look at this. That's what I'm saying. Let's look at this. So my question to you, ever since I'm showing you that 2,000 years ago, Jacob Trouble started when at the abomination of desolation. That's when Jacob Trouble started. We have the end of Jacob Trouble. So my question to you is, have Israel ever totally conformed since we've been since we got kicked out of the land?
Have we ever
conformed to the fourth beast? No.
No.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. We always kind of, you know, been a little rebellious, but we don't own nothing. We don't own nothing.
Right, but I'm showing you, that's the iron that's not mixed with the clay. We never mixed with them. And then at the end, I want to read this out of Daniel because I think it's going to help a lot. So let me get over here where the book is. And it's also tied to Camp Cuffee. Cuffee is tied to this. So
All right. Hey, brother. I'm sorry to say.
Can you? Can you hear me?
All right. I'm back, brother.
So, are you with me on the fact that the beast that we see the womb in the head, that's not a man, but the beast is the full beast. The full beast you see the womb in the head. So the womb that the full beast received is when the Rome got sacked. It was a republic at first. And then when it got sacked, comes two back and back. That, the beast that we see the womb in the head is not an empire. You see the womb in the head and then it still lives. Because King came and made the Holy Roman Empire. But before that, it was a republic. He moved it to
Rome.
So that's the beast. Not a man. Ain't no man coming that's going to get shot in the head. The beast, which is a system, got a womb in the head. They sacked Rome, the giants, those Vandegoths and those Vandals. Broke through Hadrian Wall and went all the way to Rome and sacked Rome. And they set up shop in Rome for 2 years. Roman Empire decimated. Some king came back, brought it back to life. That's the beast that we see the woman in.
Okay. So
let's look at it. So understanding that right here. So now you go to.
Hold on, Brother Leonard. We might have to pick it up some other time, brother. We are over our time, brother. Let's see here. Let me. I know. We in the middle of going in with it.
Yeah.
All right. We are. Whoa. We went over our time, brother. We 30 minutes over.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, man. Let's pick it up Thursday or your show.
Yeah, Friday.
What is your next show? Friday? All right, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it this Friday. I'm definitely going
to
make it this Friday. And
talk to the other brothers.
I see what I can do on that part.
Yeah, we had a pretty good show on Clubhouse Sunday, man. Check it out. Go back and look at it.
Okay, all right. I'll check it out, man.
Okay.
All right, but yeah, let's go on and wrap this show up, brother. Because I'm multitasking too. It's kind of a bad show, man. I've been playing those clips. You've been helping me out on this show. I don't know, man. Here lately, I've been kind of off. But
all right.
That's what's up. Shalom to you. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm returning that favor for show, bro. I am definitely coming on that show, Prophets of Awakening. And I definitely got that, your call-in number. I'm going to check that out, man. All right? All right. Shalom. Let me, all right. See you Friday then, brother. I'm going to put you on hold.
All right.
All right. Shalom to my brother. All right. So let's have a little outro jam. Let's see here. Let's play Humble for Yah.
Listen with the fear of the Lord. Get
it out.
Book the Psalm, chapter 111, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear the Lord, you begin to gain wisdom, read.
Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it takes more than fringes and ZZ, cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me, whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Yeah, but I read your scriptures and live them. Devil be blinding on me with precision. My spirit, you put living in them. Sometimes I do not feel worthy of your kingdom, but I still stand tall when I sing it. Please do not take my life before the mission. I pray you grant me time to finish, so I don't bring disgrace to my lineage. This generation need healing. Heaven and hell with your choice, that's a given. Y'all don't really get it, just listen. It's like your spiritual body in prison. So thank the Most High for forgiveness and practice repentance. And in this coming, start cleaning your spirit. Hope you avoiding that fiery sentence. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it takes more than fringes and ZZ, cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me, whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Everybody scared of facing their past. Everybody scared of giving their last. Everybody out here chasing a bag, not knowing that it came with a tag. Ambition got them going, I said. Got drive, but they throw off the path. Evil spirits, they observing they left. This verse of prayer, cause my spirit be sad. We say repent, but they soften they left. I will please do not show us your wrath. Have mercy when your spirit is bad. Baptize and get their spirit a bath. Most of them never grew up, they dead. The neighborhood is really all that they had. Time is ticking, it could end with a flash. Your grace and mercy really all that we have. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it take more than fringes and ZZ, cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me, whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy.
Yeah, who said be aware of the leaven? Whose word hold weight in the heaven? Who you think gon' pay what you owe? Who you think been getting you ready? Hamashiach, cause he paid it already. Flow cold like the face of a Yeti. We move in silence like the ancient spaghetti. I can really drop the bass if you ready. Babylon about to fall like a levee. I'm preparing while I'm hoping I'm ready. Trump gon' build that wall when you ready. We boxed in like we driving a Chevy. We in the book of Revelations already. Stay woke, cause it's about to get messy. Repent, not a frivolous message. Praying hard that the Father protect us. Father, please teach me.
Yeah.
A good understanding of all day. That do his commandments.
So you get a good understanding when you follow his commandments. That's why we're able to come up here and tell you that you're Israel.
Right.
That's why we're able to come up here and correct you from your wickedness.
Right.
Because we follow the commandments of the Most High God.
Right.
Therefore we get the wisdom and understanding of his word.
Right.
We come out here and wake up our people. You so-called black, you so-called native, you so-called Hispanic, to come back to your true nation.
Right.
This is what you get from fearing the Most High God.
Right.